Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106. Seven, the fan. Second hour of four kicking off. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, at 11:30. It is a Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino in Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline and welcome onto the show. Buddy of ours, at one point in time, worked here at the Fan, and he's a D.C. area guy, now out in Dallas hosting mornings on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan, Sean Sharif. Sean, wow, were the Cowboys impressive against the Giants.
Holy hell.
Dak Prescott looked like he was the best version of himself. 405 yards, four touchdowns. How much of this is Kellen Moore's new offense? How much of it was one game against a bad defense?
Well, let me start off by saying yee-haw to go along with the intro music there for the Dallas stereotyping. We're all trying to figure that out. That's a great question. I've been on the Dak does not deserve $36 million like his agents are probably trying to get. I never thought that he was this elite thrower of the football in terms of his accuracy or his decision making, that he needs a ton of help around him. And I had to take it. I had to eat it on Twitter after week one. John Kitna is in here too as a quarterback coach who has been working on his mechanics throughout the entire offseason. It's still Jason Garrett's scheme that they're running under Scott Linehan. Kellen is just dressing it up a little bit. You know, you guys remember Al Saunders, a lot of motion, mm-hmm. a lot of movement. And that is what Kellen Moore is trying to bring with a little bit of a new school offense that he's very familiar with there in college himself with some of the all-time numbers that he put up. So right now they're both the toast of the town, guys. Kellen Moore for bringing us an offense. It's not Stone Age anymore. And Dak Prescott for looking lights out. Although the Giants, and I caught heat for this, the Giants had some blown coverages. I mean, there were some wide open. There was a touchdown down the middle of the field to Blake Jarwin, the tight end, and Dak like double pumped and threw a duck because he was shocked at how wide open Blake Jarwin was. But Dak also made some dime throws to Amari Cooper, to Michael Gallup. So I hate to sit on the fence, but right now the answer is both, but Kellen Moore is just being talked about. Jason Garrett's not even being mentioned here.
Yeah, Sean, I mean, the formula, you go, well, if you surround Dak Prescott with a bunch of weapons, he could be pretty good. Well, there's a bunch of weapons. The best offensive line in football. You mentioned Cooper. You mentioned Gallup. And, oh, by the way, haven't even said Ezekiel Elliott yet. I mean, this team is loaded.
And Randall Cobb.
And Cobb, too. They may not be loaded in a couple years if you pay them $36 million, but they are right now. What's the pulse down there? Is this a Super Bowl-caliber team?
If Dak plays the 75% of that, obviously you can say, well, if Dak plays like that, they can be awesome every week. Well, no, duh. If Dak plays the even 75% of that, I think they can be a Super Bowl team. The defense actually is getting called out now because in their last two performances, they've gotten their ass kicked. The Rams embarrassed them in the playoff game. And the Giants, for as much as I make fun of them and Eli Manning, they put up about 470 yards of offense. They're getting criticized for not giving it to Saquon Barkley enough. So if the defense can now catch up to the offense, and if Dak can play the even 75% of that, I think they're a legit Super Bowl contender. They've done a great job, guys, and a lot of that is, you know, saving money, not being big spenders in free agency, paying their own. They have a loaded team. The offense is stacked. The defense has names all over the place with Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch. Robert Quinn's going to be coming back. You got Tank Lawrence. You got Byron Jones, who was a Pro Bowler last year. They're really high on Xavier Woods, who had maybe the best training camp of everyone. So I would say it's a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah, let's talk defense for a second. You mentioned the defense catching up to the offense. It's been the strength of the team over the last several years. They were susceptible against the Giants to some big plays from Saquon Barkley. Is that just him being great, or do they have some things they got to clean up?
They got to clean it up. Marlon Mack, you know, this goes back to before the Rams playoff game. Marlon Mack ran all over them. The Colts shut them out. And then we saw it not even against Todd Gurley. We all know the Todd Gurley saga, right? But it was the backup. C.J. Anderson became a household name against them. So there's some questions right now. They talk a lot. They're the hot boys, and they got their chains, and they got their little club and their little clique. Well, they need to start sitting here and playing a lot better versus doing all this talking. So right now there's definitely a little bit more heat and questions about the defense after week one.
Well, Sean, that linebacking core, I covet. That group is really, really good. I think the pass rushing can be up and down maybe at times, but is there a weakness? A few Cowboys fans are chirping me that the secondary is where they're vulnerable. Do you buy that? Is that where the kind of the chink in the armor is?
Well, it's not at the corners. All right, they have Chido Awuzie, who, look, you talk about having to pay everybody and losing some people. They're talking about Byron Jones being out of here. So it would not surprise anyone here if Byron Jones got squeezed with all these big contracts that are coming. But you got Byron Jones, Chido is your number two corner. Jordan Lewis was Pro Football Focus's number one slot corner for the last week. And then I mentioned Xavier Woods. Jeff Heath is a whipping boy around here. He's a strong safety that usually is going to have a blooper per game. He had a bad angle on a huge Saquon Barkley run on that first drive. I would say the weakness is on the interior of the defensive line. DeMarcus Ware said that's the weakness of their team, their depth. They have Randy Gregory with problems, of course. He can't get out of the drug program. Tyrone Crawford has been banged up. They're expecting big things out of Malik Collins, but he can't stay healthy. So I would say there's a weakness. It's the interior of the defensive line and the depth there.
Sean Sharif on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. By the way, I have the same opinion of Dak as you, and I'm not negative or down on him. I just think paying him what he's going to command, and that's what the market dictates. We played this game before with Kirk Cousins. We've seen it a million times over now. I think it'll be restrictive moving forward. I think it'd be a mistake, but maybe in this offense, if they can design things around him, they can win a lot of football games. What about Jason
Garrett?
That
brings up, up a counter question real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
A lot of our guys in the building are new school young guys who are falling in love with the Warren Sharps of the world. And, hey, you throw to win. And some of us were opposed. I was opposed because of him off the field. I don't trust him. Do you pay Zeke if this is what the offense is going to be? You know, we all know what Mike Shanahan did in Denver. Obviously, you know, Alfred Moore's story in D.C., but we know running backs are easily replaceable. Teams are not paying them that big-time money anymore. Only us, the Redskins, and maybe the Panthers are drafting these guys this high. So we're looking at that Zeke usage in terms of carries per game and saying if he's going to be more limited than in the past when they ran him into the ground, did you make a mistake in paying him when you have all these other really nice players to pay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have paid him. I guess I'm more of a sharp guy myself. We talk about it on the show here a lot.
Constant, yeah.
There are certain running backs that are worth paying big money to. He's one. Saquon's one. I probably just wouldn't be in a position where I'm drafting those guys top five or I'm even having them in my building. It's not that they're not special. I just don't know that that's the best way to build the thing with how, I won't say easy, but how readily available running backs are.
And I would say this, if Dak coming into this year, right? If and we were on the same page with Dak. I'm not ready to, you know, pay him $36 million because of what he did against the Giants, but certainly it was really exciting and encouraging. You need Zeke on this football team if Dak is what he has been. To me, he's been a very, very good bus driver, not a playmaker. They averaged 21, 22 points a game last year. We know it's a high-scoring passing league, and if Dak is going to be good at his very best, he's going to be good, then you do need Zeke carrying the rock. We're just waiting to see if Kellen Moore is going to throw it a lot more and have Dak carry a lot of the weight.
Sean, thanks for the extra work today, man. Really appreciate it. Keep killing it down there.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the game. Back at you.
Be well. There you go. We're scouting the opponent on Grant and Danny each week on Fridays before kickoff. The latest on the Cowboys from Sean Sharif. They not only won going away, they sprinkled some style points on that one against the Giants.
How do you want to score this time? What do you guys feel like doing? Who wants a touch?
Our Redskins beat reporters, Craig Hoffman. He'll join us on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown, coming up at 11:30. Next, what teams have the most pressure on them to not fall to 0-2 this weekend? We'll look at the schedule.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On 106.7 The Fan. It's a Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game and every bet for real sports fans. Taking a peek at the NFL standings, there are some really good teams on paper that are expected to have great years on the verge of becoming 0-2 and potentially on the precipice of falling out of the conversation of the elite. Who least can afford to lose and get to 0-2 this weekend? That's the question. You can chime in either on Twitter if you'd like, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny.
Or you can call in at 800-636-1067. One team that I'll throw out there is a club that I think is in a lot of trouble. I was talking to my buddy Rich Campbell, who used to cover the Redskins for years here in Washington, and now covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Chicago is coming off of a breakthrough double-digit win season where they got to the playoffs and they're a made field goal away from getting deep into the postseason last year. They've got a tremendous defense, and they're trying to figure out if Mitch Trubisky can play quarterback for a long time as a franchise passer. Last year, Matt Nagy's scheme made it look like maybe he was on the ascent. He was horrendous and struggled immensely against the Packers in the second half of a game that was there to be won in the 10-3 loss in week one. They now have a winnable game on the road in Denver. But understand something about the Packers. About the Bears, rather. The Packers win. Green Bay better than last year, you'd think. Aaron Rodgers healthy.
Uh-huh.
The Vikings coming off a dominant win. Very much competitive for a division title. The Bears, like some other teams, coming off division championships, they're not favorites necessarily. They're not just going to get a cakewalk to the top.
It's because the division ain't the same.
They can't go 0-2, and they've got to beat Denver. If Trubisky struggles again, and the Redskins, a week from now, welcome Chicago to town 0-2, with matchups against the Vikings and the Saints and the Eagles and the Chargers looming after the Redskins and the Rams.
So I picked Chicago for regression, dude.
They're in big, big trouble. The Bears have to win Sunday.
Did you see that article? I can't remember where it was, and I apologize. This is very vague. So they're worried about Mitch Trubisky's confidence. And there was a big to-do about
Rich wrote that article.
It was Rich's article?
That's why I called him.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is apparently a thing I wasn't really aware of, but last year specifically and over the last couple of years, people in the building have really worked hard with Mitch Trubisky on.
You can do it, buddy.
Exactly. Like basically jocking him.
Yeah, you handsome square-jawed elite athlete. Let's go.
You're okay that you threw that interception, kind of like patting him on the back. Well, Trubisky at the podium on Wednesday, that's when quarterbacks talk, he came out and someone asked him about the loss to the Packers and his performance. And he said, I was told I'm not allowed to talk about last week. That's literally half of what you do in that press conference. You talk about last week and what you learned and what you're going to do different, and then you talk about this coming week. But he said, I'm not allowed to talk about last week. And one of the reporters says, well, who told you that? What do you mean? And he pointed at the PR guy, and he basically threw him under the bus. He's like, him and some other people, like, they don't really want me to talk
Steve.
About last week. And the point was, command the room, dude.
Yeah.
have a little bit of quarterback.
I get it as a wide-eyed
feel
rookie
to you, but you're not a rookie anymore, and you got to run the room. If that guy can't have a press conference where he talks about his bad game, how is he going to lead 52 dudes to go beat the Broncos?
Grant, I got four nominees for this award of who needs it the most. I got four. Chicago's one of them. You touched on it. Cleveland is my second one. They need something good to happen because all the hype, the train, the Freddie Kitchens era, so far it's off to an undisciplined, disastrous start, right? Their offensive line looked like garbage. They couldn't stop Tennessee. Week two for the Cleveland Browns, I think, is critical because they could be off to a god-awful start, all but eliminated, honestly, just the way that the statistics and the history of this game, when you start 0-2, your playoff likelihood goes way, way, way down. You would say they need it. Pittsburgh.
Well, hang on. Before you keep going, I want to talk about the Browns for a second. I don't buy for a second they'd be eliminated after 2 weeks. I think that that's overstated. However, I think it's a great call on Cleveland because I looked up their schedule yesterday. You know, after the Jets, and another reason why the Browns are a perfect answer by you, no Sam Darnold this week with mono.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a backup quarterback, banged up Jets team. Apparently Le'Veon Bell is, I don't know if he's going to play or not, but he's hurt.
We went and got an MRI. He said it was fine.
Means he's not 100%.
Right.
No? So you got to beat the Jets. I mean, the Jets just gave up a 16-point lead to the Bills and don't have their quarterback. Monday Night Football, week two, figure that out. If you can't beat the Jets on Monday night, we don't need to have a bigger conversation. But, you know, after that, they play the Rams, the Ravens, the Seahawks, and the Patriots in a five-game stretch. So if you're 0-2 going into what is your murderer's row of your schedule, they don't really get a softer portion until basically the start of December for their stretch run. They have the Bengals, Cardinals, and Bengals again.
So I'm saying it hyperbolically, they'd be eliminated. Of course they wouldn't be. But 90% of teams that start 0-2 don't make the playoffs.
I get it.
And that's
yeah.
kind of my point. So now, along the same boat, same division. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Shellacked by the Patriots. Patriots are really good. Nobody's saying they're not. But Pittsburgh, on the verge after a disappointing year last year, you jettison Antonio Brown. You take a $1 billion cap hit to do it. You get worse just to make, you know, addition by subtraction. And you looked god-awful. Roethlisberger looked terrible in week one. Your defense couldn't stop anybody. All the analytics guys are mocking your schemes on the Twitterverse and on television. You look terrible. They could certainly use a W in week two.
Pittsburgh, unlike Chicago, who plays Denver, and the Browns team that we just talked about playing the Jets, they got a real tough matchup, too.
Seattle.
I mean, you have a must-win type game where you have to find a way to get to 1-1. You'd rather be playing the Jets without their starting quarterback. Now, Seattle on the road, Eastern Standard Time at 1 o'clock, different than the Seahawks at their home stadium. And not only that, but the Seahawks are coming off of a game where they played a fairly lifeless 60 minutes against the Bengals. So I think the Steelers will win, but I wouldn't want to have to win a game against Seattle, who's also very hungry, by the way.
Yeah, fourth nominee, the Atlanta Falcons. Didn't look particularly good against that Minnesota team you mentioned earlier. They couldn't manage much. Garbage time offense, and that was it, and that was all. New Orleans looks like they're still the class of the division, right? Tampa Bay is 1-1, but they're not a factor. Carolina's 0-2. But Atlanta could still be in that division simply because, and maybe in the NFC just by virtue of what's going on around them. But there were things swirling. Dan Quinn was on that list of maybe most likely to be fired type coaches. If they're not losing games because of health, which was the excuse last year, that operation all of a sudden comes into question a little bit. And are they squandering the primes of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones? And they got a million first-round offensive linemen. And they look poised to be a really good team. I bought in, for example, and I look like a rube after 1 week, but Atlanta could really use a W, too.
So I'll jump down a couple of tiers because all the teams we're mentioning were expected to be really, really good.
That's kind of the idea, right?
And I don't know that the Texans are going to run away with the AFC South. I don't know that anybody's going to. The Titans are 1-0, and the other three teams lost. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, all winless. So if they're 1-1 and, you know, a game off the pace or possibly even in the division, that's one thing. 0-2, you could win that division at 9-7, so you're far from done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 0-2 with a loss to Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew is quarterbacking the Jags.
That is correct.
Not Nick Foles this weekend. You are at home coming off of a game you probably should have hung on to against the Saints, and you'll be staring at an 0-2 record when you easily could have been 2-0. I know that that division is going to be kind of murky and basically be around 500. You're going to hang in the hunt. But I wouldn't want to be Bill O'Brien if they're 0-2 after losing to Jacksonville.
Especially after all the moves he's made, all the win-now moves where they traded away a million draft picks and their future is mortgaged for Laremy Tunsil, Duke Johnson, and some air.
How long do you get? And people could say, well, what's the difference between him and Jay Gruden? Well, I think there's a big difference. Number one, there aren't two great teams in his division that are way better than his team on paper in the case of Bill O'Brien.
You give Jay Gruden Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, and for years, Jadeveon Clowney, and he gets similar results, we can have a different conversation.
Right. You want to go in that 8-8, 9-7 mold every single year and be 42-39 after now six seasons? I mean, he's been there longer than Gruden's been here. But there's no excuse for the Texans, particularly with Foles injured, Jacksonville, what they are. The Titans are very average.
Yeah, they're okay.
They looked good in week one. And the Colts, now Andrew Luck retiring, there's no excuse for them not to win that division. So I'd throw them into that mix. Let's talk to Craig Hoffman next, our Redskins beat reporter. We'll win off the field at 11:45. You call in, you tell us what's going right in your day. It is Friday after all. Got your blitz coming at noon, and in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll try to take the temperature on the Redskins-Cowboys rivalry, where it's at now compared to where it once was. We're Grant and Danny.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Will be joined in a moment by our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Get the bottom of the Redskins prep with Dallas and whether or not Jordan Reed will be on the field. Coming up in 10 minutes, our opportunity to get you on the horn to tell us how you are winning off the field. And at noon, we're going blitzing around the Beltway, the teams in town you care the most about. It is a Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet, for real. Sports fans, I just had the weirdest thing happen to me, by the way.
What's that?
I was saying our little reading the Charlestown thing, and I thought for a split second, wait, it's Thursday. I've been acting like it's Friday all day. I've been reading this thing all day. It's Thursday. It's very clearly not Thursday.
It's Friday.
But in my mind, I panicked for a split second like it wasn't Friday.
Oh, man. That rarely happens. I usually go the opposite way. Where it's like a Monday, I'm like, okay, so today obviously is Wednesday.
Yeah.
But you're going back. You're going DeLorean
style. In my mind,
style.
I'm like, it's got to be Friday. Why wouldn't anyone have stopped me? Like, Danny's heard me say that 10 times. But for a split second, I thought legitimately, it's actually Thursday right now. Let's go to Craig Hoffman. He is on the Hoffrex, and he joins us as he gets ready for his prep of practice. He'll be out in Ashburn again today. Craig, it is Friday. You can confirm that?
I can confirm it is Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm write that down.
Will Jordan Reed play against the Cowboys?
You know, I don't know, and I would have said yes this time yesterday. He looked a little bit off at practice yesterday, just like body language-wise, and he didn't do as much in the open portion as he did on Thursday, which was the day before today. I guess
so. That's two.
That would have been Wednesday.
Carry the
that he
two.
Did
okay.
More. Yeah. See, now I screwed it up, which makes the joke not as funny. But he didn't do as much yesterday as he did the day before. So he obviously needs to wake up today, have no symptoms, and move forward in the concussion protocol. But he is not 100% clear yet. He has not participated in a full practice. And I don't know. And, you know, this concussion thing is so weird. Sometimes it can kind of fluctuate. You think you're in the clear, then all of a sudden symptoms come back. And we don't get the chance to talk to Jordan while he's in the protocol. So this time yesterday, I would have said yes, 100%. But I don't know anymore.
Craig, I think something that you talked about last year, I think everyone should have been talking about it. Like, it was criminally underrated when it came to how pedestrian and boring and sad and inept at times this offense was. And it was how they were running play action off of running plays they don't even run. And everyone knew what was coming. Everything was telegraphed. I imagine the offense might look kind of like that again because Adrian Peterson's behind center. You can't have the whole playbook available to you like maybe you had with Darius Geis. Am I crazy there?
No, it is something that they're like, part of the reason they like Geis better is because the entire playbook is open. The runs that they run with normally just Chris Thompson are also available to Darius Geis. The runs that they've run with the back who's not Chris Thompson are available to Darius Geis. And those are the ones that Adrian Peterson will run, and it slims it down a little bit. I think the difference is, though, that Kevin O'Connell, one of his main projects was to marry the pass game and the run game. In other words, to make the play action look like run, and they did a good job of that last week. Last week, they come out on the second drive where they were – Grant probably knows the number because I know he was one of the people who was screaming about this the loudest, and I don't say that demeaningly at all because you were right. What was the number for them first down run last year?
I think it was like 56 to 60.
It was almost 60, I think.
It was like 60%. It was the highest in the NFL. And they come out in what looks like a heavy run look, and they throw a play action ball to Kelvin Harmon and pick up like 20 yards on the first play of the second drive last week. They short motion. It's a tight formation. Kelvin Harmon is in, who you think, okay, it's Harmon, the big guy who they like as a rookie because he blocks well, not Paul Richardson, the guy they signed for $40 million to catch passes. Okay, it's going to be run. And then they go play action and they get 20 yards. And so those kinds of things, I think, can sustain with Peterson in the game. The runs that Peterson can run are still ones they can run play action off of, you know, inside zone, outside zone, you know, duo, which is the straight ahead man blocking play. That one you don't really play action off of a whole lot, if ever, but and that's one of AP's favorites. But I think that there's still enough of the playbook, and I think you can still do stuff with your personnel and making sure that you vary when you call things down and distance-wise, that losing Geis doesn't mean that you lose everything you had going last week in terms of your unpredictability.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny. I worry a lot less about the drop-off from Geis to Peterson over the course of, you know, a week or two than I would no Monte Nicholson to, say, Troy Apke. If Nicholson can't go against this passing game, to me, that's petrifying.
Yeah. I'm not here to ease your pain on that, Grant. Not here to soothe your soul. I think Troy has gotten a lot better from year one to year two in terms of where he's at physically, obviously, his body. You know, he's healthy, and that was the biggest problem last year. But even, you know, from like a muscle build standpoint, he looks more like an NFL player now. And he was okay on special teams last year. He was very good in the preseason, and he was very, very good last week in week one. So I don't want to make this dump on Troy Apke completely that he's not an NFL player, which at the time, you know, at last year, that was a thing I said. I was like, look, you know, he's got great tools, but he's not ready to be an NFL player. He is now. But an NFL safety, that I need to see more evidence of. He was okay in the preseason, but still left a lot to be desired. And can he hold up over the course of multiple weeks? That we don't know. The good news is I don't think we're going to have to find out as of yet. You know, Monte ramped up yesterday, went from a DNP on Wednesday to a limited participation yesterday. He's bouncing around the locker room. He seems fine. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but it's not like he's walking with a limp or anything like that. So hopefully he is available and ready to go. And obviously the other part of that is not just being available, but being available to be him. We saw last week the impact he makes as a rangy over-the-top safety when he smashed Dallas Goedert on that one play where he starts in the middle of the field and gets all the way from the hash to the sideline and breaks up a play. Like, if he's not that guy, what version of Monte Nicholson are you getting? And is it good enough against a pretty potent Cowboys passing attack all of a sudden with Amari Cooper, who requires safety help as he's such a gifted route runner, and Michael Gallup, who requires safety help because he's fast as hell.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. Follow him if you care about the Redskins. Craig, you mentioned the passing game of the Cowboys, which all of a sudden looks very 2019 and looked really good, and I'm terrified of it. How did they get pass rush? There was not nary a whisper. I don't think they know what Carson Wentz smells like from last week. They weren't even close to him. How do they get more pressure this week on Dak Prescott? You can't just get carved up again.
Yeah, step one, do better. The execution of individual rushes has got to be done at a much higher level than it was last week. You can't just blitz all the time. Ryan Kerrigan is getting paid a lot of money and has earned that money because he gets double-digit sacks every year. he rushed like a guy who is a very pedestrian rusher last week. And actually, frankly, last week he rushed like someone who was not a very good rusher. He was barely effective as a pass rusher at all. Montez Sweat is a rookie. He is learning. He gets Tyron Smith this week, which is one hell of a way to start your NFL career back-to-back with Jason Peters and Tyron Smith. He's got to figure out how to get some more pressure. Ryan Anderson is a second-round pick going into year three. Has got to figure out how to get pressure. And the whole reason Casanova McKenzie made the team is because he's a good pass rusher. So step one, those four guys on the outside getting more pressure. They also need more pressure from their interior guys. Someone like Daron Payne obviously needs to be a lot better. But I also think they can design more pressure. Their linebacker blitzes were pretty terrible. And it's just, let's have one linebacker blitz, and there's a five-man rush, and he's just going to run into whatever offensive lineman is trying to block him. They need to disguise better. I think they can bring from different places. They become less predictable. Inside, you can talk about the execution, where they're going to call stunts and twists and things like that. You can't run into each other. You can't all meet at the center. You're supposed to run around each other, create confusion, and one of you is supposed to wind up at the quarterback. So the actual execution of this stuff needs to be a lot better. I think they can bring some pressure out of the secondary if it's careful. You know, as we said, that passing attack is potent, but I don't think Dak is as equipped as a guy like Wentz to make some of the on-the-move type of throws, even though Dak is mobile. Dak's more of a run threat. So you got to be careful. You got to have contain. You got to do all those things. But I think well designed and much, much better executed pressure can have some effect on him.
No Allen, very likely. No Geis. But the Cowboys are coming to town, and the Redskins have to get to 1-1. Craig Hoffman will be on the scene for us. Listen to him on The Fan and read his work at thefandc.com. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
You got it. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. We'll see you at FedEx. Next, let's win off the field. You call us, 800-636-1067. You tell us how you're in the win column today. What's going right? These are the tiny moral victories that only you care about in your life today. Winning off the field, a Friday staple on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, from...
Come on, Troy. Call it like you see it.
You know, from...
Grant and Danny welcoming you back to 106.7, the Fan's continuing coverage of Football Friday. We are presented by our friends at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I hope there's not a six-month limit on winning tickets, by the way. When we were there for March Madness,
yeah,
I ran the underdog kennel.
The Grant Paulson Kennel Club.
I didn't realize this. I went to look at my Nats futures the other night.
Uh-huh.
All my winning tickets from hoops I have not sent in yet.
You haven't cashed them?
I thought about doing it one time, and I'm like, oh, I'll go back there soon, and I just haven't been back.
So you could send them in the mail?
I think you have to,
and
right?
Get it, or I always thought you had to go back in person.
So, no, you can send it in the mail. I just don't like the idea of if for some reason they don't get there, those are just all my winning tickets gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like sending cash in the mail, as far as I'm concerned. But I hope that they didn't expire, because that would have been a dumb thing by me. It's time to figure out how you are winning off the field. We do this not for each other and not even for you guys, which is generally who we do this show for, but we do it for the president of the Washington Redskins,
we do.
Goose Allen.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Yes, Bruce. Yes, we do. So with that in mind, Danny, tell people how you're winning off the field today.
I can give an example.
Danny Rauer.
He can give you one, too. I'm moving this weekend, my friend. The move is happening. The family is moving. Moving stinks. Everybody knows it. One of the reasons people just stay in their house or condo or whatever for far too long is because the process is not good. You know that. I know that. Even that guy bucking for promotion back in Washington, Hanrahan, knows it. Okay?
The Essex Home Studios.
Exactly right. You got to move out of those. When a car crashes right through the window, everyone is okay here at the office. You've talked about these guys. JP has talked about these guys. Everybody around here has talked about these gentlemen. And my experience so far with our boy John Neal Metropolitan Moving and Storage has been awesome. One of their guys came Wednesday morning at like 7:30 and delivered a bunch of boxes to us so we can pack up our knickknacks wrapped in bubble paper, the whole nine yards. They have been so cool to work with. They're going to even go and help us move on a Sunday. Not typically done. They're going to help us move on a Sunday. These guys have been awesome. Really appreciate them. So, because we got that part solved. I'm sorry, Bruce. I didn't mean to cut you off, sir. I was just saying, we got a part that stinks. It's not that bad. We got it solved thanks to these guys. So, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's the deal.
I love it. Also love that I'm favored to win all of my fantasy games, but won this weekend, according to the projections on Yahoo. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Look at you.
And last night, I got to spend some time with my wife, my dad, my nephew, my brother. A little family affair at the King George Sports Hall of Fame. And it was very cool. It was a good, fun night with my family. And therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I benched O.J. Howard last night. I said, you're going to have to prove it to me. I put in a pedestrian tight end.
That was a good decision.
It ended up being a great decision. Now, when I get like 3 fantasy points from the other guy, but still. O.J. Howard, what's going on, man?
Last night I had Chris Godwin going, went for $121 on 8.
I want you to know it's over.
It's a good start when you get a 26-point week from your wide receiver to get your week off.
It's nice to see it out there when you check the scores.
Let's go to Rich in Olney. He is in the Grant and Danny Listener League, by the way. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Bob.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Robert. How are you, pal?
So despite Big Ben playing terrible for me, no shots for Danny triumphed over Asteroid Defense. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Ah, so you beat Danny
Smashed in week one.
And by the way, Phil and Alexandria beat me. So both you and I fell in the Grant and Danny Listener League.
Indeed.
Did Thom or Dar at least represent for the show?
I lost to Gylo.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Thommy, please tell me
Come on, Thommy.
Don't tell me listeners got a clean sweep over the four of us. Hey, now.
Hey, here we go. Here we go.
Crushed Richmond John.
With a big point total, too.
You pummeled him?
Yeah, beat him by like 70 points.
Oh, Thommy got
You should kick him out of the league. He's so bad.
Dar, you had.
Thommy loves kicking people out of the league, by the way.
All he wants to do is boot listeners out of the league.
You're trying to kick
game.
Me out.
Dar, you had a big draft. I mean, you're listening to all the podcasts. Tell me that it was close. Tell me that it was a mirage.
I was leading going into Monday night, and Josh Jacobs went off and crushed me.
He had a day.
Oh, no. All right. You did win the championship last year, so we'll give you a one-week reprieve. Let's go to Kendrick in Fairfax. What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. I'm a high school football coach at Falls Church High School. I coach the D-line there, but this week we have a bye week, so I'm able to go take my little brother and actually enjoy a high school football game instead of being stressed out. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
So that is actually really fun when you get to actually just go as a fan and kick it.
It's
with
nice, right?
You know, somebody and watch a little football. What game have you chosen to go watch?
I'm actually going to go to watch the Annandale versus Justice High School game at Annandale because we actually play Annandale next week and Justice is in our conference, our rival. So I'm going to go do a little scouting too.
My brother-in-law is the wide receivers coach at Annandale, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on the Adams staff. They've had a tough first couple of games. They lost the game. True story. Annandale's
true?
Week one game, Danny.
Uh-huh.
They march down the field, okay? They get to the goal line. Final play of the game, final seconds. They punch it in the last second of the game to get within 1 point.
Okay.
They can kick the extra point to tie. They can go for two and win it. We're winning this.
Let's go for
thing.
Two.
Let's go.
Overtime is for ties.
They line up.
Yeah.
To win on a 2-point conversion on like a wacky extra point. Special teams group is out there. We're doing a weird 2-point conversion formation. Got it?
Okay.
So they send the kicker and everybody out. Now we're doing a 2-point conversion bit.
They swung the game?
Surprise.
The team they were playing panics. Everybody's losing their minds. Guys are jumping all over the place. They go offsides. Okay? So they're moving the ball up to a yard from the goal line.
Now we're even closer.
We're even closer. But they still had the special teams group out there, and it was a fire drill. So they couldn't get everyone on the field on offense. So the special teams group's out there. Snap over the head of the guy, of the quarterback. 2-point conversion, no good. They're 0-1. And then since played a game last week. But that was their week one game.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one to swallow. Especially because you're doing.
He sucked.
Josh, unbelievable.
That is unnecessary.
That's over the top. Especially because you're trying to do the bold thing. Because you know.
Win the game.
History favors the bold, except when it screws up.
Let's go Mighty Adams, huh? I'm going back to King George tonight to watch the Foxes. Let's go Foxes on a Friday night under the lights. My first time going back to watch high school football in KG in years.
KG high school football rules.
I'm being told, by the way, we have a silly at quarterback. He was the talk of the town last night.
He's the toast?
Like 10 people came up to me to tell me about this quarterback getting recruited by William & Mary and some other places. Apparently the best quarterback we've had in years and years.
Wow.
Your boy's going to put the scouting glasses on and watch him tonight.
Wow.
Pocket passer or dual threat, I don't know.
You don't know, but you know he's good. You know he's good.
The Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny.
Folks, Danny Ruye here. Ted Britt Ford is the dealership that I go to. Thank you, Coach. When I want a car, I go to Ted Britt Ford. That's happened three different times in the history of old Danny Rauer, right? Let me take you back to 2016. We're going, hey, listen, our kid's getting bigger, right? Family's growing. We need a little bit more space, a little bit more room. So we test drove a couple different SUVs or subs to the layperson, right? Drove the Explorer around, drove the Escape or the Escape. We settled on that Edge. It was awesome. We loved it. And then we couldn't believe the deal we got. The sales rep was so knowledgeable, knew everything, and got us a great deal. The financing, a whole nine yards. The whole process, haters. Absolutely. That's what I said driving off the lot. The entire process was so seamless. I said to the lady wife, I said, wife, that's how I talk.
I want a Mustang.
No, that's not what I said. I said, this was a great process. Let's do this again when it's my turn to get a car. And guess what? That's exactly what we did. I got my Fusions parked downstairs right now, charging up on the building's dime. That's right. He's a savvy car shopper. And it goes right back to Ted Britt Ford. I did it this past summer as well. We got the brand new Edge. I love it. You guys are going to love it too. Give them a chance to win your business. In fact, they've been winning business for 60 years. That's right. Six decades serving folks just like you and me, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, the whole nine yards. Go see them in Fairfax.
East Job Roadhouse.
Even from up there, you can drive down, Sonny P. I know you don't have a lot of spare time on your hands these days. Go see my guys, as I said, in Fairfax and Chantilly. QuickWayTempers.com. And when you go, tell them to be safe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.